Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm sitting broadcasting tonight from the bright red desk at a beautiful Sunday, 6:30 at night. Sun is set. Day is done. Gone the lake. Gone the sun. From the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is done. Safely rest. God is nigh. So welcome to the weekly weather for October 2nd, 2016. We are moving forward. Mercury clears his shadow this week, and we break free into a whole new energy. Now, those of you who attended my Libra webinar on Friday or are interested in a new energy, this is a lovely new moon that we had on Friday. And I encourage you tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, to sit down and do a new moon ritual around what you want to bring in. This new moon, the sun and the moon and Jupiter are all together. And this whole last year has been about releasing, changing, letting go. And now in the fall, we shift and we get a sneak preview and we're getting ready to commit to the next chapter. And this new moon is a marriage moon. Okay, Libra is the sign of marriage, partnership, relationship, cooperation, who we want to cooperate with. New moons start a new 30-day cycle. They also start a new 2.5-year cycle. And because this new moon is on Jupiter, starts a new 12-year cycle. So the first lunation that we have when a planet enters the new sign, in that sign, helps us really understand what that planet wants us to learn about. So Jupiter now in the Anima Mundi chart, the chart of the world, has risen out of the house of work where it worked so hard all last year. Not necessarily getting stuff, but figuring out stuff, working hard, understanding how things work, apprenticing, so to speak. Now as Jupiter goes into Libra, which he did a couple weeks ago, this lunation with the sun and the moon meeting on Jupiter, and they're right next to him, they're right on top of him, they're saying, okay, let's commit to what we're going to partner to. So what I did in the new moon ritual was I encouraged everybody to make an altar, come up with what you want to partner with. So in my case, I'm working on a book. So I'm going to have a little book. When I hang up from the show tonight, I'm going to go stand and look in my mirror and hold my little book up and vow to myself in the mirror. It's very cool. I don't know if you've ever done this, but it's totally cool. My friend Lorraine Neidhart did this to us a few years back on the eclipse. We got married to ourselves, vowed to love, honor, and support ourselves. It's very powerful looking at yourself in the mirror and committing to yourself. So I want you to look in the mirror and commit to yourself what you're going to partner with this year. What is that partnership about? What is it you want to create? And if you know where Libra is in your chart, that's the place where the new marriage is taking place. So in my case, it's the third house. The column is back as of tonight. It'll be back up again after my year sabbatical. Committing to writing again. Committing to writing the book, writing the column, and teaching. Because Libra, of course, Jupiter's teaching in my chart. A lot about teaching and communicating. So with that in mind, I'm going to be teaching a beginner workshop in Vermont the first week in November. So you're welcome to come. It's a lovely workshop hosted by Beth Shaw. And the information is on my worksheet, Beth, on my website, astroann.com. Beth will step you through the hotel and the registration for the program, and it includes lunches and breakfast, and then we all go out for dinner on Saturday night and have a good time. And then I'm also going to be speaking on Christian Northrup's radio show on November 23rd on Hay House Radio and her Flourish show at 11 o'clock on the 23rd about her new book coming out. And one of the tools she uses is astrology. And back when I'm obviously her astrologer. I don't think I'm her only astrologer, but I know she comes to me periodically for readings. And, you know, what the tool of the astrology is a gift as the roadmap of your life, as kind of the map of where you are. And also just last finishing up this week, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be in California at the ESAR conference, which is a conference on by the International Society of Astrological Research, and it's going to be on the upcoming election as well as a really good education conference, and that's taking place in Costa Mesa. So obviously the next couple weeks I'm going to be teaching, doing my Jupiter, and you're welcome to join us for any of those, any or all of them. and then forward into the new. So what we're going to do with Jupiter, as he joins with the Sun and the Moon, he's going to ask us who we want to partner with. So back to the ritual, standing in the mirror, looking yourself dead in the eye with a symbolic representation of what it is you want a partnership with, whether it's good health, green juice, really working, and kind of gazing at that and saying, okay, this is my path, this is what I'm going to try and do. And this commitment energy, this new moon, very potent, Monday, Tuesday, tonight, of course, and then you can also do it through the moon in Sag, which is going to be on Wednesday, Thursday. So our job with the new moon is it begins things, and it says initiation, initiation, initiation. Let's start. And as you can hear, I'm at the tail end of a cold, which hopefully will be well-behaved while I'm on the phone. So this week, because the new moon has got what we call a Star of David in the sky, what a Star of David does is it encourages us to really commit to creation process. And the Star of David is a it is a earth and water star. So what earth and water stars are all about creation energy. And it kind of pushes us into growing and creating and building new things. There also is a Hammer of Thor in the sky this week. And what the Hammer of Thor does, it says if this is not part of your path, it's time for it to go. And that hammer is Saturn and Neptune in the square, and the handle of the hammer is the south node in Pisces. So there's a lot of still releasing. You know, remember when we're at the back end of eclipse season. it officially ended on Friday, and we're now letting go of things. So our job is to be done and then to commit to the new process this week. Mercury leaves his shadow on the 6th, on October 6th. So then we're technically finished with the Mercury retrograde, which was a big feature of this eclipse. So we may still have a couple more little things that scoot out in the next couple days. But really what we're doing now is we're committing to the new thing coming in. So our job, should we decide to accept it, is to say, forward, let's go forward. The energy is very intense, as you may have noticed, in the world. It's a little wild out there. And part of what we're doing with this intense energy is really making important choices. And the Jupiter and the Neptune, the Saturn and the Neptune square, aspecting the south node of fate, they're really encouraging us to, the Saturn and the Neptune and the south node of fate, aspecting the handle of Vesta, is asking us to really clear out our home and hearth, and really create our nest or create a home environment that's supportive to what we want to grow. If it isn't supportive, you need to get rid of it. And you've been doing this. I know everybody's been releasing. But it's really interesting. So this weekend I went to a workshop because I'm a firm believer in doing what I preach. And one of the things we did, it was very fascinating, was we took what we wanted to let go. And I'd never held a coconut before. Coconuts have little faces on them. Did you guys know that? So we were at this workshop, and we put what we wanted to let go in the coconut. And then we smashed the coconut on the ground. And then we picked the coconut. Obviously, we went outdoors to do this. So we're under a bridge. Okay, imagine this. There's like 50 people. We're in Brooklyn under the Manhattan Bridge in a section of the town called Dumbo, which, of course, you know, you got to think about the name there. So we all go out, we all have our coconuts, we all put something into this coconut, then we smash it and release it. And it was fascinating to watch 50 people smashing their coconuts. And then, of course, we were very good citizens. We gathered up our smashed coconuts and put them back in the coconut bag. But I didn't realize coconuts had faces. They have two eyes and a mouth, or two eyes and a nose, depending on how you want to look at it. And it was really interesting looking at everybody's faces on their coconuts, because they all were different, slightly different. And everybody did different things that they were releasing and letting go of. But it was a fascinating ritual of release. And, of course, coconuts inside are white. And I was struck by the symbolic nature of that as a Libra energy. So that might be something you want to add to your ritual. I kind of did it because I went to this workshop. It wasn't part of my conscious thing of what I was going to do in the ritual of committing to my writing again and committing to finishing the book. But it was very powerful because it was like, okay, I'm committing to clearing out the things that prevent me from doing that. So watch it. It's kind of cool. You can apparently get coconuts at Whole Foods. Who knew? And you kind of just kind of look at that coconut, talk to it, send into it what you want to let go of, and then smash it on the ground, preferably outdoors. And it, like, breaks into a million pieces. It's fascinating. So it was really fun. And, of course, there were 50 people under a bridge in Dumbo smashing coconuts the other day, Saturday. so our job, as we let these things go and we allow ourselves to create, remember, part of what we're here for, you know, and your chart has in your heart, if it's in your heart, it's in your chart. I say that to clients all the time. So if you have a desire to do something, it's in your chart someplace. It's going to be in your nodes, going to be in your Venus, going to be your Saturn. So it's really about listening to the heart call. And this whole last year when this big T-square was going with the contractor and the architect and the client, you being the client, about what you wanted to construct in your life, we're at this turning point now where it's like, okay, now it's time to build. Now what's going to happen in the next 3 months? Jupiter's going to pick up speed. Saturn's going to pick up speed. Uranus is going to pick up speed. Saturn's going to go through a section of the sky he's never been in before, or hasn't been in for 29 years. For some of you, he's never been in it before if you're young. But for all of us, we're back to 1987. Then when we get to January through June, Saturn and Uranus are in a grand trine in fire. And so this is an amazingly powerful, powerful trine. And it's going to be like rockets taken off. So just know, this part's the lead up, the quiet build up, and you can see how crazy it is. But with the Saturn trine Uranus, it's just going to accelerate. And that's going to be January through June, Saturn in Aries trining Uranus in Aries. And then, of course, if you have Leo planets, it's going to form a grand trine in fire in your chart. But a lot of the visioning, a lot of the work, the passion, and Saturn in Aries asks us, what is our passion? And as he goes past his stationary point, which is going to happen in a couple of weeks, we're going to be in new territory for Saturn. And he's going to be asking us, what is your vision and how do you commit to it? So this week, while we're in the Libra Sun Moon, it's the idea phase, the thought behind what we're doing. And for manifestation, we always have the idea, then we have the passion, the vision, then we have the emotional commitment, and then we go and get it done. And you know, if you're not interested in something, you just don't do it. You postpone, you delay, you dawdle. But if you're interested, you get stuff done. So this is the time to harness that get stuff done energy. And Monday, Tuesday, very big for getting stuff out the door and done. Tonight, too, if you're working tonight like I am. but the energy of the week is very potent because the new moons this week are all action-oriented moons. So let's get our new moon pens out, our moon pens out, and go. So Monday is Rosh Hashanah for the Jewish people. It's the new year beginning. And it's got a lovely closing aspect of the sext. The moon in Scorpio is on Monday tonight from 3:43, tomorrow and Tuesday until 9 o'clock at night, Tuesday night. And it's moon sextile Mercury. So moon sextile Mercury, Scorpio moon sextile Mercury in Earth is a lot about creating, writing, communicating, getting everything out there. The moon goes void at 9 o'clock on the 4th. With a positive aspect, so Monday and Tuesday get a great deal done. Wednesday, the moon goes into Sag at 4:26 in the morning, and it's in Sag Wednesday, Thursday, and it goes void at 2:26 in the morning on Friday morning with a trine to Uranus. Again, a really positive fire-oriented trine. The moon is void all day Friday until 4:40 p.m. Friday afternoon when it goes into Cap. And it's going to be in Capricorn Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, going void at 12:51 p.m. These are all Eastern times, with the moon square Uranus at 12:51 p.m. And then it's void next Sunday, the 9th. So this is a very, very, very highly focused, very intense week. The Capricorn moon is, again, a letting go moon. That's next weekend. So it's like the last release. So between now and the Mercury leaving his shadow on October 6th, then any last little bits that need to go, you're going to get rid of them next weekend on the 8th and the 9th. And then full steam ahead, okay? And just kind of stand back because this energy is going to go fast, it's going to go strong, and it's going to go hard, meaning it's going to be like, okay, we got to get this done. We got stuff to do, places to go, people to see. Very focused energy. The Hammer of Thor wants to clear out things that are unnecessary. And that's the Saturn-Neptune South node answering to Vesta. So kind of go around your house and think about, or your body, or your office, and think about what in that space is supporting you, what in that space is not supporting you. If it's not supporting you, release it. What is it you need to create? Hammers of Thor also make things. What is it you need to create as a space? So in my case, you know, if you've been to my apartment, I have piles of things pretty much everywhere. And I'm clearing out a little space for my sacred writing that I'm going to sit down in the morning and do religiously right after I play the piano. And so it's good. It's like, all right, these are my commitments to the Libran, to the Pisces, to the creative energy, and to allowing that energy to kind of flow. All of us have some kind of thing that we're creating, and we're all building. We all have a vision of where we want to go. Saturn and Sag, is going to ask us what the vision is. Now, Sagittarius is multiple candles, right? So the Aries is matches, Leo's fireplace logs, Sagittarius is candles. So we put all those candles together and they illuminate. We scatter the candles and we spread the light. Fire does not diminish itself by sharing itself with another being. It diminishes itself when it finishes with its fuel, right? But it can share flame. Candle lights another candle and both of them are lit. So it's a very illuminating time. It's a very good time for you to pay attention to the information, the messages you're receiving from the universe, because it's trying to talk to you about stuff. It's trying to say, hey, don't you want to know about this? And your answer should be, I sure do. Talk to me. Now, what we're going to have this week, the sun is going to go from 9 Libra to 15 Libra, and it's going to talk to the nodes of fate on the 5th, on Wednesday, which is a good day for you to make choices about the direction you want to go, because it's going to have an adjusting energy then. And that, of course, is right before Mercury leaves his shadow. The sun also has a square to Pluto. Now, sun square Pluto. Pluto is at 1457. He just went direct last week on the 29th, and last Monday. And he, as the sun squares him, he says to you, I want you to think back on all the stuff that's happened since the spring and the Middle East spring when Egypt went a little wild and the Middle East all kind of melted down. I want you to think about all the energy you've worked with. I want you to understand your role, your relationship to power, P-O-W-E-R, from Pluto, your relationship to freedom and breaking free from Uranus. And those two planets are very active this week. This week it's Pluto that's active because the sun is going to square Pluto. And next week the sun is going to oppose Uranus. So we're integrating our lessons between power and freedom that we've been working on for a while. And this, of course, takes us back to the 60s when these two planets were joined, which is why we're dealing with many of the issues of the 60s, civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, the changes in the culture, the changes in the workforce, the changes in the belief about how the country should be run, what's possible, what's probable. And then as we have the sun sextiling Saturn, there's a great deal of energy on the 4th around what we want to work with and how we want to work with it. And today, this morning actually, the sun was in conjunct Neptune saying, focus on the dream. What's the dream? So we've got the moons in Scorpio, Sag, and Capricorn. Water, water, intense passion. Sag, vision. And then Capricorn, build. That's our theme. Feel. Vision, build. And then the sun comes along to support that and to take us on a journey of consciousness. The sun is in an air sign. It wants to talk to us. People are going to say things to you. Your job is to listen to what they say and maybe not agree with them, but at least hear them out. At least go, well, that's an interesting thought. Let me think about it. And try it on. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to argue with it right from the start. Just let it come in and then say it back to them. If I hear you correctly, what you're saying is this. As Mercury clears its shadow, we're all going to have one last chance to hear it. And as Mercury hits 29 Virgo, poop, and then pops into Libra, because that's what he does this week, he pops into Libra on October 7th, we go, got it. That's the plan. Mercury goes from 22 Virgo to 4 Libra, so he's going pretty fast. So that means he's going 8 and 4. He's going 12 degrees in 5-7 days. So he's a speedy guy, not as fast, not as top speed, but he's moving along. he has an adjusting aspect to Uranus and Eris today around the direction with which we want to head and how we want to get there. He has a creative aspect on the 4th with the vision we have for our life and how we want to nurture it and grow it as he aspects Pallas Athena and Ceres. And he invites the two of them to work with him. Now, those are in different positions, so it's forming a little biquintile configuration, which I don't think has a name, but it's linking up what we want to nurture with our vision for how we're going to get there. So that's tomorrow, and or on Thursday, and that's kind of important. That's in the afternoon, in the morning time frame. We have Mercury aspecting Vesta about the changes we need to make to support our stuff. Mercury has an argument on the 5th of October, on Wednesday, with Eris, kind of saying, I don't really want to do that. Now, remember, one of the things with Mercury retrograde is we hear things we maybe didn't want to hear. We see things we maybe didn't want to see. But the idea is we're having a dialogue. As he leaves his shadow, he gives us one more chance to hear it. So you really want to listen this week to what you're hearing and then go, oh, that's what's going on. Once he enters Libra on the 7th, we are into new territory. Mercury in Libra is very polite, kind, nice, communicative, balanced, seeks balance, and he doesn't always say what he means. Now, the good part about Mercury in Libra is he's answering to Venus in Scorpio, which is a pretty intense position for Venus. So there's a lot of clarity. There's a lot of focus. There's a lot of drive behind that Mercury. In terms of what he's going to communicate. He's going to be very passionate about his communication. It means the Facebook dialogue is a lot more deletes. The way this shows up in Facebook, you know, I don't like what you say, I'm going to delete you. Mercury trines at Medos, I'm going to delete you. Mercury quintiles Saturn, you know what, I've had enough of this, I'm time for a change. And Mercury contra-parallels Jupiter, a lot of energy around releasing and letting go and saying, okay, that story's finished, I'm done with it, I really get it, and partnering on a new level with how we see things. As Mercury goes across, think of it now, Mercury's going across the equator, right, and he's now descending into the underworld because he's going down. Once he hits Libra, he goes into the equator. So he's going to first come up with some new patterns at the beginning of the week when he's talking to Ceres and Athena. And then when he goes below the Earth, below the equator, he goes, oh, okay, and now I understand what you were talking about. So there's a clarity that comes with this week. Venus is going with 10 Scorpio. And she's moving up to 19 Scorpio, so she's pretty focused and pretty intense. The highlight of Venus this week is she does have lovely aspects to the nodes of fate on the 3rd of October. That is on Monday. So you really want to watch who you meet. Now, she's in Scorpio, and the moon's in Scorpio that day, and Venus is going to come and wake up the nodes of destiny and work with them collaboratively. She also is going to sextile Pluto on the 5th. So you want to watch for triangular partnerships that arrive or opportunities of creation that arrive this week as Venus works with Pluto. And then she is also going to have a little bit of an argument with how to do it, not with the concept of doing it, but the actual how to do it. And that's going to happen on Sunday the 9th. As she squares in Medos. And, of course, my first thought when I saw that just now is I thought, oh, yeah, I said I'm going to go do it after I play the piano. I'm going to write after I play the piano. I probably should write and then play the piano. you know, because, you know, better to, you know, like it's adjusting your vision of how you're going to do it. Allow whatever the vision is you want to do, you allow it to, in the moment, live, adjust, shift. And the minute you commit to something, watch, you're going to, chart's going to want to pop it and commit to something else, but you want to kind of go, no. All right, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do again? Renegotiate the position at the end of the week if it wants to change. Mars is in Capricorn, running from 3 cap to 6 cap. Mars is out of bounds, which means that it does not follow the rules. So we can expect Mars energy to not be following the rules. Mars is sex. Mars is fights. Mars is people communicating. It's answering to Capricorn, which means it's answering to Saturn and Sagittarius. Fiery communications from people. And Mars has a number of stressful aspects this week. He has a semi-square with Juno on partnerships and relationships. That's on the 3rd. And a semi-square with Pallas Athena on the 3rd. So what happens with Mars semi-square Juno and Pallas Athena is we're going to look at existing partnerships and say, you know, maybe I think I want to change that a little bit. You know, it used to work the way it was, but I think I might want to renegotiate a little. And, of course, Venus is in Scorpio talking to the nodes of fate. So she goes, sure, you want to change it. We can change it. What do you want to do? And Mars says, this is what I want to do. And Venus and Mars, you know, are collaborative because they're in a sextile to each other. Mars also squares Jupiter on the 5th, which is committing to overdoing. Okay? Think of Jupiter in Libra, makes it bigger. Mars square makes it action-oriented. Mars out of bounds makes it not follow the rules. So do be careful for fights that escalate very rapidly around Wednesday. And just pay attention to, you know what, I'm not going to get in a fight with you. I'm going to walk away, and I'm probably not even going to turn my back on you. I'm going to back up looking at you, okay? Way back when I took a self-defense course, the guy said, don't ever turn your back on them. Back away looking at them. Because if you they're mad, they can run up and stab you in the back. And I'm like, really? He goes, well, when you turn your back to them, if they've lost, they can be really angry. So back away looking at them so that they're not able to stab you in the back. And I'm like, wow, okay. So that's a big story this week, Mars squaring Jupiter. Back away looking at them so they can't get you. Now, that's one of the minor aspects, but if you do find you're in a bit of a struggle or a fight this week, remember, Uranus and Eris are still up there having a squabble. Just back away, watching them, rather than turning your back. And then Jupiter has a contra-parallel to Pallas Athena. So that's going to be a little bit of an argument between the father and the daughter, or the authority and the feminine, or the Jupiter and the visionary. So just kind of watch for the energy of, well, you know, to be a nice person, Jupiter and Libra, this is what you need to do. Pallas Athena goes, really? I'm very independent right now. I have a different opinion of what I want to do. Working with a contra-parallel, we have a little bit of a struggle. Saturn also squares the nodes of fate on the 8th. Fated choices made next Saturday. And the lead up to them, you're going to really feel this is a fated choice I need to make. I need to make it sooner rather than later. And I need to move my butt. So you're going to find this is a very accelerated week with Saturn squaring the nodes. Vesta has a hard aspect to the nodes on the 9th. You may find you need to move rapidly, quickly to get out of places. And if that's the case, move rapidly and quickly to get out of places. Don't stay. And then, of course, Pallas Athena has aspects with Juno and Ceres in terms of negotiating strategic partnerships, strategic alliances, and how she wants to proceed. And on that note, the British lady says I'm cooked and I'm down to my last 30 seconds. So I wish you all a great week. And it is a very fast-moving week, and we are entering very fast-moving times. So the struggle energy is leaving us behind. The speed at which things are going to proceed is going to be a little bit daunting. When you're overwhelmed, take a deep breath, stand in the moment, say, what is the most effective use of my time? And stand in that space, what is the most effective use of my time? and what is the most effective use of my energy at this moment. And if you do that, it will help enormously. And on that note, I'm hanging up. So come join us in November. It's a great beginner's class. Take care and have a lovely, lovely week. I'll be signing off from the Bright Red Desk and going to work on writing my column. Take care and have a great week. Bye.